About a week ago now, I was looking at the catalogues that come in the junk mail. Don't often look at them, but about this time of the year I do, because they're full of blokey stuff. Amen, James. James is a new father. He's hoped for hot lots of stuff today, I guess. But as I looked through, there was these T-shirts, and they were the T-shirts with messages, and they had a few listed with the messages on. You kind of try to read the small print, work out the message. And there was this message on one of them, which wasn't particularly good, not particularly funny or anything like that. In fact, probably a little bit on the other side. But it said this: who are all these kids? And why are they calling me daddy? And I thought of that, I thought, well, that's not really very nice. But then I kind of stopped, because it made me think about God. How this is the absolute opposite of what God thinks. You know, that God looks upon humankind as his very special creation. When he made creation, he made human beings for fellowship with himself. He looks upon the peoples of the world as the father of all. And what's more, he yearns for all to call him daddy. You ever thought about that? But isn't that so true? And this was a message, of course, that Jesus proclaimed when he came to earth. In a sense, Jesus proclaimed what to a great extent had previously been rather hidden, but he now revealed it. That God is the archetypal father, that he is the pattern from which the idea of fatherhood comes. That God himself really, right at the beginning, instigated the idea of fatherhood. Because he is the father who is the first father. He's the father in whom there is no sin, there is no weakness, there is no failing. And through his son, he makes a way for all people in the whole world to become his beloved children. On this Father's Day, there is no doubt that God is the ultimate father. He is also the perfect father. And that's important for us to remember. As I prayed, there are many in our world today who really dread the idea of Father's Day. And the reason they do is because they've never really had a father who was nice to them. Never had a father who loved them. Unfortunately, there are many who mainly today recall the abusiveness of a person to them who never should have been a father in the first place, or the absence of one who never was a father. And because of that, I have spoken to many Christians along the way who find it so hard to see God as a loving Heavenly Father, because you see, they never knew the love from an earthly father, so now they find it hard to trust God, because they could never trust any other father they had. And they always expect God to be kind of wanting perfection from them and being cross at them when they don't measure up. Or they always expect God to let them down, not be there, because that's what they've experienced. Because that's how it was with their natural dad. They look at their earthly father, and then they look at God as father, and they do so with tarnished expectations. I believe that the message Jesus brought was that instead they should see God. They should first see God as everything a perfect father could ever be. And when they look at God that way, they have the added understanding that, you know, even the most wonderful earthly father can never be more than an inferior copy of the Father that God is to those who receive him. If you go to Bali, you can always buy yourself a watch. You can get yourself a Rolex watch in Bali, just for a few dollars. But of course, it's not the real thing. Sometimes you can get a good copy, which will last quite well. The time will keep on going. The outer enamel covering will peel off rather quickly. And then you can be unfortunate to get a really bad one, which actually stops as soon as you get to the hotel room. But how silly it would be if you had one of those copy watches and said, well, that was lousy, I'm never ever going to buy a Rolex. You never had a Rolex in the first place. And God says to us this morning, yeah, unfortunately, there are plenty around who are bad earthly fathers. There are some really good ones as well. But the point is that I am, God is, the real father. You never know what a real father can be like, in a sense, until you understand God. And then you can see him working through those who love him, who seek to be fathers themselves. When Jesus came to share with us, he came to share with us that we can enter into a relationship through faith in him with the Father who is perfect, who is full of love, full of mercy. The Father who alone is the real article. You know, Jesus often referred to God as Father. Over 200 times in the Gospels, Jesus referred to God as Father. But not only did he refer to God as his Father, he referred to him as the Father of all believers. There's a beautiful time when, after the resurrection, he appeared to Mary. And Mary was there, remember, by the grave. And he said to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and to your Father." Isn't that amazing? "To my God and your God." You see, what the Father was to Jesus when Jesus lived on this earth is what he is to us. The love, the strength, the encouragement, the passion he gave to his Son, he gives to us. And Jesus benefited so much from his Father on earth. Remember his baptism? The Father, I love that expression of the Father to the Son. "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Listen to him. That's what the Father does to us now. And because he does that to us, we as fathers can do it to our children. We learn from God the Father. It was through his link with the Father, by the power of the Spirit, that Jesus actually lived his life on this earth. And he calls us who believe in him to do the same, to live the life we should live by the Spirit and with the encouragement, the passion, the power that the Father will give to us. You know, one of the big things is that when Jesus was on the cross, he could ask the Father to forgive those who were at that time crucifying him, because he knew the Father's love for him and the Father's love for them as well. How hard it would have been for Jesus to pray from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." How hard would that have been? They just crucified him. Some had deserted him, some had denied him, some had put the nails into his flesh, some had told terrible lies about him, some who he thought supported him, no doubt, as well. And yet he prayed, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they do." And it was the Father who enabled him to pray that prayer. And if perhaps today you carry a heavy burden because you've had a parent, or perhaps a spouse, or perhaps a significant person in your life who has evilly treated you, then you can also, because you are safe in the love of the Father, pass that burden on to him. Father, forgive them. Because you know that that Father will always put you first. He always will. He cares about you. He doesn't want you to be hurt anymore. Remember, I talked about t-shirts again, someone who was wearing a t-shirt, and it said, "God does have favourites, because I'm one of them." And I think there's a sense of truth in that, that we're all favourites to God. He does care about us. And so we can put that burden into God's hands and know that he will deal with that person with justice. Yes, he will deal with them with justice, but also with mercy if they turn to him and ask forgiveness. Because you see, that is how the Father has dealt with us, isn't it? He's dealt with us with justice. God's seen our wrongdoing, and he's given the word of condemnation. The wages of sin is death. But also with mercy, for he has taken upon himself the punishment we deserve. And because sin is sin in God's sight, all sin is sin, we can never look upon another person and say that they deserve forgiveness any less than we do. There's a story, I wasn't quite sure about sharing this, but it's a funny story, not funny laugh, ha-ha, but funny weird. But it's still a story about, it's from Cliff Barrows. Some of you will know Cliff Barrows. He was the guy who led the singing at the Billy Graham Crusades. He told a story about his parenting, which actually got into a book by Chuck Colson, and that's how I know it. Cliff Barrows was saying that he had two young children at this time. I suppose they would have been kind of school-age kids. And one day they'd done something which was really, really, really bad. And he said to them, look, you can't get away with that. That is so bad. But this time you have a warning. If you do it again, I will have to punish you. And he came home from work the next day, and the kids had done the same thing again. A little bit worse, but exactly the same thing. You know how kids do? They push you sometimes. You say don't do it, and they see, what will I do if I do do it? And he comes home, and he looked at me and said, I'm going to have to punish you. But he was a father. He didn't want to punish his kids. Most fathers are like that. You don't really want to do it. You know, go and see your mother. But he knew he had to do something. So what he did, and this is the strange, this is the weird part, but this is what he did anyhow. He called his two children into his study, and he took his belt off. I thought, this is where it gets nasty. But then he actually took his own shirt off. And he bent down and he said to his children, you've done this, it deserves punishment, but I want you to punish me instead for what you've done. And they couldn't understand that. But he said, I want you each to hit me 10 times with this belt. And they did. And he said that they were crying because they didn't want to do it. And he wasn't feeling too good either. And then he said, after they've finished that, he said to them, look, that was because you did wrong and I took the punishment from you. And he said then they kind of had a big old cuddle and they prayed together and so like. And then he went on and in the story he wrote, and I'm trying to find it here, like Terry, I've lost my notes too. And he said in this book, I smile when I remember the incident, he said. I must admit, I wasn't much of a hero. I think he was actually a bit of an idiot, but never mind. He said, it hurt, and I haven't offered to do that again. It was a once-for-all sacrifice, I guess we could say. But you know what? I never had to spank those two children again because they got the point. You know, the Apostle Paul got the point. He knew that God had borne the punishment for his sins. That's what the book of Ephesians is all about. That God has borne the punishment for our sins. He has changed our life as our Father. Now he expects us to go on and live for him. He got the point also, did Paul, about God being the glorious pattern of fatherhood. That passage we have from Ephesians 3, 14 to 15. It starts with this tremendous verse, and J.B. Phillips puts it like this. When I think of the greatness of this great plan, I fall on my knees before God the Father, from whom all fatherhood, earthly or heavenly, derives its name. The fatherhood comes from him, says Paul. This Father who bore my punishment in my place. This is the Father who now directs me in my fathering, helps me, encourages me to be the father I should be. But especially, Paul got the point about God the Father sending his Son so that he could adopt us into his family. We're as his sons and daughters. We could live our lives now depending upon him as our Father, so that we can live for him and to his glory. This is the great plan that Paul talks about in Ephesians 3. That as Christ lives in us, says Paul, by faith in him, and as we come to know more and more of God's great loves, Ephesians 3 and the rest of the chapter, so we will be filled with the fullness of God. And the image of the Father will be seen in each one of us. Isn't that amazing? And it will be seen in the way we father our children. And as we are grandparents and great-grandparents. Ray said to me today, it's also great-grandparent day today. I've got it in for you, Ray. But it will be seen in the way that we act towards those around us. We will impact those around us with this certainty that the Father who loves us is also at work in us as he worked in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jamie Buckingham tells a story in his book, Power for Living. Story told to him by a guy by the name of Fred Craddock. Fred Craddock was a doctor. He was a lecturer in homiletics at one of the big theological seminaries. Fred and his wife went back to where they were brought up for a vacation. They went into a place there, knowing no one, for dinner, and they were looking forward to a quiet dinner together, no one interrupting it. You know how it is sometimes, you like that. As they were sitting there in the restaurant, they noticed this rather stately old gentleman, white hair, who was moving through the restaurant, and he was kind of going to table by table, just talking to people. Some he knew, and obviously some he didn't. And they were sitting there, and the guy, Fred, turns to his wife and says, well, I hope he doesn't come near us, interrupt our dinner. But of course, the guy did. He came to their table, introduced himself, asked who they were, and talked to them. Where do you come from? What do you do for a living? Fred said, well, I'm a lecturer in homiletics at a theological seminar. So you teach pastors how to preach. He said, that's right. So, well, he said, I've got a really good story that I'd like to share with you. And Fred thought to himself, oh, no, not someone else who wants to share with me a story that I should be teaching my guys. But this guy sat down. His name was Ben Hooper. And he said, I was brought up in this area. In fact, just lived just over the other side of the mountains with my mother. I was born never knowing who my father was. And I was brought up with the stigma of being a son without a father. He said, I used to really get it in the neck. Wherever I went, he said, particularly at school, the other kids would call me terrible names. And I would just basically go off by myself and try to avoid them. And I got into the system of avoiding people completely. I used to go into town sometimes on a Saturday, so I used to think that everybody was looking at me thinking, I wonder who his father is. So when he was about 12, a new pastor came to their church, new preacher. And on a particular Sunday morning, this guy, Ben, said that he used to, you know, get out of church. He'd come late and get out early. But on this time, this new pastor took him by surprise. He had a much shorter than normal benediction. And so by the time he got to go, everybody else was going out at the same time. So he went with the crowd, and he said he could sense that everybody was looking at him, as he always sensed this, that people were looking at him with burning eyes, although burning a hole through him, wondering who his real father was. With that in his mind, he got to the door, and suddenly he felt a big hand on his shoulder, and he turned around, and there was this new pastor looking at him. And the pastor said to him, who are you, son? Whose boy are you? And Ben said he felt the old weight come on me. It was like a big black cloud. He said, even the preacher was putting me down now. But as the pastor looked down at Ben, Ben said, the pastor was studying his face and he began to smile, a great big smile of recognition. Wait a minute, he said, I know who you are. I see the family resemblance. You are a son of God. And with that, says Ben, he slapped me across the backside and said, "Boy, you've got a great inheritance. Go and claim it." The old man finished and moved on. But before he went, he said, "That was the most important single sentence ever said to me." With that, he smiled, shook the hands of Craddock and his wife, and moved on to another table to greet old friends. Sonny Fred Craddock remembered. On two occasions, the people of Tennessee had elected an illegitimate to be their governor. One of them was Ben Hooper. You know, as we think about Father's Day, the most wonderful thing is to thank God for our fathers, but thank God that He is our Father. And also to remember, He is our Father who works through us, that we have got a great inheritance. We've got to go and claim it, though. Every day, claim that inheritance of God the Father being with us, and therefore letting Him and wanting Him to work through us so we make an impact on those whose lives He enables us to touch.